This nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear.
Isn't it equal?
From WDET in Detroit, I'm Stephen Henderson, and this is Created Equal. I'm in the studio with the show's producer, Carrie Jr. II. Hey, Carrie.
How you doing, Stephen?
So I want to start today with a little story. 30 years ago, a little more than 30 years ago, when I graduated from college, my first job was in Lexington, Kentucky, working for the newspaper there. Mm-hmm. And just north of Lexington was a town called Georgetown, Kentucky. And I remember the first time I went to visit there, we went to the Toyota auto plant that was in Georgetown and was fairly new. Back then. And I remember two things really distinctly about that first visit to that Toyota plant. One was how absolutely excited people in that part of that state were that that plant was there. It was the first auto plant in Kentucky, and it provided an enormous number of jobs for people in that region. And, you know, it's a part of the world where people really struggle with opportunity and stability. They found all of that in this Toyota plant. But the other thing that really struck me was that they didn't have a union. Those workers were not organized in that Toyota plant. And being from Detroit, the home of the auto industry, and of course the home of the UAW, and having grown up in a labor family, I had never heard of that, the idea of an auto plant without an auto union. And so if you fast forward 30 years, that plant in Kentucky is still unorganized, and most plants in the South, which are usually foreign automakers, don't have unions. They're still having this big fight about whether to organize. And that's what we want to talk about today on the show, is the fact that the UAW seems like it's maybe closer than it has been before to organizing a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee.
In the South.
In the South, in the deep South, in some by some measures. And the political reaction to how close they are has been pretty stalwart. You've got governors from not just Tennessee, but several other states where there are other auto plants, foreign auto plants, speaking out saying, look, this would be a disaster for us because the companies won't want to stay in these states if they have to deal with unions.
Yeah, we're right in the thick of it, as you said, Stephen. The vote began yesterday, Wednesday, April 17th, and it ends Friday, April 19th. There are 4,300 workers that are eligible to vote for this one. And as you said, governors across the South have been against these workers unionizing. And then, you know, the thing that steps out, that stands out a little bit different for this vote than previous years, because they've tried to unionize this plant twice and have failed twice. But this time they're coming off of some pretty historic, some pretty big wins from the fall. The UAW is, you know, last fall they scored a big one by ratifying a contract with the big three automakers. And so now they've got some momentum and probably feel like this is a good time to try and get those workers in the South to believe that these unions are actually worth the fight. So it's pretty interesting to hear what our guests have to say about that. But I also just kind of wonder, like, why it is that the South doesn't unionize as often. Why the South particularly? Because we know up here in Michigan what these unions do for the workers.
Right. Well, and this is, again, the home of worker organizing. Flint, just up the road, is where the UAW was begun, and then it, of course, grew to be an enormous influence here in Detroit. I mean, some of it is that unions find their home, their historical home, in industrial parts of the nation, and the South has been slower to embrace that industrialization. Its economy was based on other things. There's also a real cultural difference, I think, between the North and South in terms of that relationship between workers and their employers. And I think that has something to do that with that opposition. And we're going to ask our two guests for sure about that. We've got two really great guests to talk about this today. One of them is Stephen Greenhouse. He is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation, where he writes about wages and working conditions, labor organizing, and other workplace issues. He has joined us here at WDET before many times to talk about labor issues. The other guest is Michael Martinez. He's the Ford and UAW reporter for Automotive News here in Detroit. He went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, recently to report on the union drive at that Volkswagen plant. So we're going to have really great insights from the both of them about what's going on in Tennessee and what it means for the nation.
All right, let's get to them.
Stephen Greenhouse and Michael Martinez, welcome to Created Equal.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. So let's start with just the background of what's going on in Chattanooga, Tennessee. There is voting going on. What is that voting about, Michael Martinez? Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have Michael with us quite yet. We do have Steve with us. So, Stephen, tell us what's going on in Chattanooga with this Volkswagen plant.
So, this could be a historic week for auto plants for unions in the South. 4,300 workers at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga are voting whether to join the UAW. This is the third time that workers at the plant are voting to unionize. When I was a reporter in the New York Times for the New York Times in 2014, covering labor for the paper, I was down in Chattanooga covering the unionization vote, and the union lost then. The union lost in 2019. The union is usually more optimistic now for several reasons. One, as you mentioned, that the UAW, with its new president, Sean Fain, is really showing itself to be a successful fighting union. It did extremely well in its strike and contract settlement with GM, Ford, and Stellantis last September, October, 25% raises, starting pay will go up 68%, restoration of the cost of living adjustment. So the workers at Volkswagen are saying, basically, we want that. That's great. And another reason I think the union is much more confident is that back in 2014, the plant was fairly new and the government was promising hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies to build a second production line in the plant to make sure, it would thrive and employ more people. But the then governor threatened not to give the $300 million in subsidies if the workers unionized.
Right.
And that scared the bejesus out of them. They thought if we only had one production line and not a second or third production line, Volkswagen might shut down the plant. Now, the plant is fully operational. It's added another production line. It just spent hundreds of millions of dollars on a new electric vehicle production line. So the workers are not worried that their plant's going to close. They're very confident. And they're just really jazzed. They think Sean Fain is great. 2019, the workers voted against the union. I think at the time, the UAW was seen as a union that, year after year was giving concessions because the auto industry was in such trouble.
Yeah,
coming out of the Great Recession, and I think a lot of workers were asking, well, what could we get? What will the UAW do for us? But now after the UAW's huge success last summer, last fall with GM, Ford, and Stellantis, the workers see that the UAW can indeed deliver, and they're tired of earning lower wages in the South than, the UAW members are earning in Michigan, Ohio, Missouri elsewhere.
Yeah. Let's talk about that difference, right? Because I think that's important to kind of set the stage here. If you are an auto worker in the North, represented by the UAW, your wages are higher than what they're paying people in these unorganized plants in the South. But talk about how much different the pay and the conditions are.
So generally around $4, $5, $6 an hour different. You know, under the new UAW contract, the maximum pay for typical production line worker will go up to $40 an hour. Mm-hmm. In the South, there are not many auto workers who make more than $32 an hour. So that's a really big difference.
Yeah.
And, UAW members get, you know, very good paid vacation, get very good paid sick days. A huge issue at Volkswagen is that the workers do not get any paid sick days. They get something called annual paid time off, mm-hmm. which is really between like 9 and 18 days a year. But the plant closed down 1 or 2 weeks each year for maintenance. And so the workers don't work those 2 weeks. And Volkswagen tells the workers, if you want to be paid for those 2 weeks, that is to come from your paid time off. So if you have 12 days paid time off for the year and you have to devote 10 of them for when the plant closes down, you know, you don't have much time to go on vacation for your family, to go visit your sick, grandfather, to do whatever. So the workers are really think this is terrible that, you know, we make, you know, great cars, Volkswagens, Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and that we're treated so much worse than workers at, you know, GM, Ford, Stellantis.
Yeah.
I'll make one other quick point.
Sure, go ahead.
I think if the workers at Volkswagen vote to unionize, and there apparently will be a unionization vote at a 5,000 worker Mercedes plant in Alabama, just outside Tuscaloosa in a few weeks. If they win, you know, that's not just good for the workers at VW in Tennessee or Mercedes in Alabama, it's good for auto workers in Michigan.
Yeah.
Why do I say that? Because this will help lift wages in the South and reduce the gap, the difference between wages in the North and the South. And that will somewhat discourage companies, auto companies and other companies from, instead of investing in new plants in the North, they've been investing in them in the South. When the wage difference is reduced, there'll be less incentive for companies to, you know, move out of Michigan, move out of Wisconsin, move out of Ohio to Mississippi or Alabama.
Yeah. I also want to have you talk just about a little about the cultural differences that play into this distinction between auto plants in the North, where unions were founded, and the industrial history of course, the North that produces those unions, and what has developed in the South. I feel like the relationship between employees and employers and the history of that relationship looks really different when you think about the industrial North and the rural South.
That's a great question and a tough question. So I think one, there are many differences between the North and South, of course. I think one is that, you know, in the 19th century, a lot of the people who settled in the North, who settled in Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, they were from Northern Europe, where unions were already stronger. And in the South, you know, there was this horrible history of legacy of slavery.
Yes.
And many employers in the South were not accustomed to paying workers halfway decently. They figured, you know, we didn't have to pay slaves anything. And even after the Civil War, they continued, you know, trying to pay as little as possible with tenant farming, sharecropping. And then as the South slowly industrialized, many, you know, workers came from the hills of Appalachia and they are very individualistic and not as interested in unions, whereas people in the North, you know, with their, you know, heritage of coming from Scandinavia or Germany, or they just had a greater sense of social solidarity. Mm. And I think, you know, the South generally, you know, employers were more, you know, just, you know, they didn't want to mess with unions. You know, they wanted to call the shots on their own. They wanted to minimize, minimize wages. And, they've just been fiercely anti-union. And I think business, in the South, I think, business corporations have more power mm-hmm. over government than generally is the case in the North.
Yeah.
And I think politicians in the South are more beholden to corporations and doing what corporations want. And I think that's a big reason they're so outspokenly anti-union. And lastly, the South was traditionally agricultural.
Yes.
And it's tried to attract a lot of business investment from the North. And it's one big or two big selling points are our wages are lower and we don't have as many unions. And governors like to be able to say, come on down. We're an anti-union state. We're a right-to-work state. We have lower wages. And the governors are worried. They issued this letter, the governors from six southern states. It seems like they're pissing in their pants. They're so worried that the union's going to win. They said, this is terrible. This horrible third party is going to come down. It's going to discourage jobs from coming here. It's going to ruin everything. And, people made fun of them for like these powerful governors are like crying that oh my God, the UAW is going to come. And the UAW members said that, the governors are saying, well, we want good paying jobs coming to our state. And the union members I've seen interviewed about this saying, yes, it's important to bring jobs to the state, but the jobs are not good paying jobs right now.
Right.
And that's why we need a union. We're tired of having to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week on the production line to earn enough to feed our families, to afford good housing. Yeah. And with wages at $24 or $25 an hour, it's often hard to really support a family with two or three kids.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Stephen Greenhouse about the organizing that's going on in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in a Volkswagen plant. It would be an historic vote if the workers there decide to join the UAW and be more like plants in the North, something that could have ripple effects across auto plants all over the American South. We would love to hear from you during the conversation as well. What do you make of the influence that unions have over the auto industry in particular, our home industry here in Detroit? What do you make of the gains that were made last year during the strike and the momentum that seems to now be pushing the union to be able to organize in places that it wasn't able to organize in the past? Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You could also go to Twitter and hashtag created equal or at WDET, and we can include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. You're listening to Created Equal from WDET in Detroit, and we are talking today about voting that is going on in a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to decide whether workers there will become part of the United Auto Workers, of course, the union that represents auto workers all over the country, but that was started just up the road here in Flint, Michigan, and has its home here in Detroit. We're talking with Stephen Greenhouse. He is a reporter who has covered labor for a really long time. He's a senior fellow at the Century Foundation, used to work for the New York Times. We're talking about what this vote would mean if workers at this Volkswagen plant, a foreign auto plant in the South, decided to become unionized. That has not happened at an auto plant in the South before. What would that mean for labor? What would that mean for politics? What would that mean for the automotive industry? In a little bit, we will also be joined by Michael Martinez, who is the Ford and UAW reporter for the Automotive News here in Detroit. He went down to Chattanooga recently to report on the union drive there. We're going to hear from him and hear from some of the people he actually talked to while he was in Chattanooga. Meanwhile, we also want to hear from you, our listeners, about what's going on in Chattanooga, what you think it means here in Detroit. 313-577-1019. What does it mean that the UAW may soon start to unionize plants in the South? Is that good news for us here? Is that good news for the industry that we are so dependent on? Would love to hear from people who are members of the UAW, maybe working at an auto plant. What do you think of this expansion, this attempt to expand unionism into southern plants? Again, 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and at WDET or hashtag created equal, and we can try to include you in the conversation that way. Stephen, I want to talk a little more about this Volkswagen vote and an irony that I think is worth noting. There's no other Volkswagen plant anywhere else in the world that isn't unionized. And I think that's something that we don't often think about here in America, especially here in Detroit. We think of unions as an American phenomenon. We think of them as a Detroit phenomenon when it comes to the auto industry. But if you go to Germany, for instance, there are no auto workers who aren't unionized. And Volkswagen, of course, is a German brand. The idea that they had this unorganized plant for as long as they did in Tennessee is something that, again, represents a bit of an irony.
So I covered labor for the New York Times from 1995 to 2014, and I retired, and I've written some books on labor since then, and I, you know, write a lot about labor for, you know, The Guardian, The New Yorker, you know, many publications. And one thing that always gets me is, you know, every time there's a unionization election in the South, you know, the governors will say, the company officials will say, oh, you know, horrible things will happen. We'll all go to hell if this plant unionizes. You know, we won't be competitive. Yet, you know, as you said, Steve, you know, every Volkswagen plant in the world other than this one is unionized. Every Mercedes plant, you know, outside the United States is unionized, except those in the United States. And people, you know, again, a lot of American governors, a lot of American business people say, you know, if you're unionized, you can't be competitive. Well, Toyota is unionized. Mm-hmm. Nissan is unionized. Mercedes-Benz is unionized. BMW is unionized. Volkswagen. So it's like ridiculous for them to say, you know, if you're unionized, you can't be competitive. And I think it's just an excuse for, you know, companies to be able to keep their wages down. Having said that, you know, this, you know, in many ways, you know, the auto industry has had great profits the past few years, but it's entering a very difficult period as it tries to shift from, you know, internal combustion engines to electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's very costly, you know, to make the trend, to develop a technology, to change the production lines. And there's a lot of competition from anti-union Tesla, non-union Tesla. And then the Chinese, you know, are producing a lot of electric vehicles at very low cost. So it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, so I think the companies are understandably worried that, you know, we might be facing a huge competitive challenge, and we don't need the union right now because that would just make it harder. But, you know, General Motors, Ford, Stellantis are all unionized, and they're making the transition to EVs, and they're confident they can succeed with, you know, with a union, with a strong UAW. And they'll say, if we could succeed with a strong UAW, then Volkswagen and Mercedes and BMW in the South should also be able to succeed.
Yeah. So what is it then that that makes these governors who have kind of banded together here to oppose the unionization in this one plant and for a lot of them, it's not even in their state. What makes them so reflexively against this if it's not fear that the companies won't do as well? I mean, and what choice did the companies really have? I mean, would Volkswagen pack up and leave Chattanooga if the UAW decides or if the workers there decide to join the UAW?
Volkswagen, you know, has invested too much in Chattanooga, you know, probably, you know, at least I would imagine at least $1 billion over the years. So I doubt it would really pack up and leave. I think the governors, you know, these are all Republican governors. And I think, you know, as I was saying before, Steve, you know, they try to attract, you know, business, both foreign business and businesses from the north, you know, transplants from the north. And their selling point is we're an anti-union state. We have very, very few unionized places, and we have low wages. And, you know, when a prominent factory like VW or Mercedes or BMW unionized in the South, you know, that is seen by, you know, Japanese automakers and European automakers and companies in the North. And they might think, well, we don't want to go to Tennessee because there's a big unionized VW plant, so maybe we should go to Mississippi instead. But so they try to remain as, to use the phrase they use, as union free as they can to help attract business, to maintain a pristine anti-union, you know, fairly unregulated business climate. Then another thing, and when I was in Tennessee in 2014 covering the VW election, you know, some politicians would say, frankly, we don't want a strong union here. We don't want a big unionized plant here because that's going to help the Democrats. Because, yeah, you know, unions are into things like having good Social Security and making sure people are paid well and making sure that schools are amply funded and trying to have better child care programs for workers. And that means, God forbid, higher taxes. And Republican governors don't want unions because they see that will help the Democrats, and they see that that might government, you know, that unions push for a greater social network, social safety net with better schools and better, yeah, child care. And you know, and the Southern governors don't want that. Plus, you know, their big campaign donors, businesses and billionaires, they also don't want unions. So, you know, the governors, I mean, it was really unusual that these six Southern governors issued this letter 2 days ago talking about how horrible it would be to have unionized plants. So there's this crazy line in their letter. You know, they say we don't need special interests, the special interests that are trying to raise wages of workers. And you know, we respect our workforce and we don't need to pay a third party to tell us who can pick up a box or flip a switch. You know, just let the boss tell you, you know, to pick up a box or flip a switch. We don't, right, want you, the worker, to have any say in that through a union. And again, many workers I interview say that it's wrong for these people to call unions a third party. They say, we, the workers at Volkswagen or Mercedes-Benz or GM, that we are the union, and the union is not a third party speaking for us.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Call and tell us what you think of the UAW's efforts to organize a plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Voting is going on right now in that plant. And if the UAW is successful, it would be the first foreign auto plant organized in the American South. Of course, there are many foreign auto plants in southern states. They operate without unions. Also, give us a sense if you're someone here who is part of the UAW or works for one of the auto companies. What do you make of the new strength that unions and the UAW in particular seem to have? What does that mean for politics? What does that mean for labor? What does that mean for the auto industry? Do you fear that some of the struggles that the auto industry, the companies are having, might be exacerbated by this new union strength? Stephen, I want to talk a little about that. Let's say this plant.
Yeah, and so hot off the press, I just got a news release, an email from the National Labor Relations Board saying they're scheduled an election at the Mercedes plant in Alabama advanced just outside Tuscaloosa from May 13th to 17th.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be another big, big deal like the VW vote. Right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. And again, that gets to my next question, which is if this vote in Chattanooga goes the UAW's way, is it, you know, the first in a series of dominoes does it break that barrier and that we would likely see lots of other plants go the same way? It sounds like Alabama will be next and Mercedes will be next, regardless of what happens here in Chattanooga. But once you get that first win, does it set off, a momentum that's even stronger than what the UAW has now?
Yes, comma generally, but not necessarily. So the UAW, after its huge contract wins with GM, Ford, and Stellantis, announced that it is launching a hugely ambitious organizing drive at all the non-union automakers in the country. You know, Toyota, Nissan, BMW, Mercedes, Hyundai, Tesla. And, you know, they're trying to organize 36 non-union plants with 150,000 workers. GM, Ford, and Stellantis have 145,000 unionized UAW members. And so the UAW is trying to add another 150,000 more. And VW is the first big important domino. And it'll be a big surprise if the union doesn't win there. And that will help create some momentum. And I think there's a lot of confidence that the union will also win in Mercedes. Hmm. And what happens after that is less clear. I do think, you know, wins at Volkswagen and Mercedes will help encourage the workers at Hyundai, who have signed pro-union cards, to move sooner rather than later for an election. But we haven't seen as much action at the 10 other companies. You know, a few weeks ago, the UAW announced that it had gotten, you know, more than 10,000 signatures from workers at these 36 plants who want a union. But to get a union election, you need at least 30% of the workers at a plant to sign pro-union cards. But the UAW says, we're not going to ask for an election until at least 50, 60, 70% of the workers have signed pro-union cards.
Yeah.
One other thought. So take Starbucks. In December 2021, I should have some water. I'm trying to get over. workers at a Starbucks in Buffalo, New York, unionized, the very first Starbucks company run Starbucks to unionize. And that created a huge explosion of unionization at Starbucks across the country. Now 400 are unionized. But in ways, the unionization wave has slowed down because Starbucks has so dragged its feet on ever reaching a first contract. So some workers are saying, well, we thought a union is a great idea, but hey, you know, haven't reached a contract after 2 years. It's not clear that unionization is really going to pay off as much as I like the idea. Mm-hmm. So there's been a huge push at Starbucks and at Apple and at Amazon and at Trader Joe's and REI, all these newly unionized places, to finally get a first contract. And none of them have gotten a first contract. And the workers complain that we have all this great union momentum, but the companies are pushing back extremely hard to prevent us from getting a contract as a way to discourage, to deter workers from wanting to unionize. So on one hand, you know, if and when the VW workers vote to unionize, if and when the Mercedes workers in Alabama vote to unionize, that will jazz, excite, inspire a lot of workers. But some workers might sit back and say, first, we want to see, you know, how good a contract the VW workers get, how good a contract the Mercedes workers get, and then we'll decide. But if the VW workers get not just a union, but a great contract is more than anything else to excite workers about unionizing.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to incorporate another voice into this conversation. Mike Martinez works for Automotive News. He covers the Ford and the UAW for that publication. And he went down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to talk with some of the folks who are part of this vote, who are thinking about becoming members of the UAW. Mike Martinez, welcome to Created Equal.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell me what you found when you got to Chattanooga. What did the workers there tell you about their interest in the UAW and the likelihood that they would be the first foreign auto plant in the American South to organize?
Well, I found a lot of enthusiasm from the union supporters, and I found a lot of confidence. And as I'm sure you guys have discussed, you know, there's been a few failed attempts at that same VW plant in recent years, and they're doing things differently this time. And I talked with the workers about what that looks like and if it's just all happy talk and sort of PR jargon. But no, it's real. There's some muscle behind what we've been hearing about how this is a worker-led organizing drive. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the UAW International isn't issuing edicts from Solidarity House in Detroit, right? They're not telling them what to do. They're standing out of the way and letting the workers take the lead here, figure out what strategies are working, what strategies didn't work in the past, and really how to run this whole organizing drive. And it started with the workers from the very beginning. You go back to this past fall in Detroit with the strikes and the rich contracts signed with Ford, GM, and Stellantis. All of a sudden, there were some union workers up in Detroit noticing that some old websites were flickering to life. They had sign-up pages from past organizing drives 5, 6, 7 years ago that were just sort of sitting dormant, but all of a sudden started to get hits from workers sending in information asking, hey, we saw what you guys did with the Detroit 3. We want that too. How do we organize? So from the beginning, this was worker-led, and that's why they're confident it'll be different than 2019 and different than 2014.
Mike, what does Volkswagen say about all of this? And you know, what is the likely reaction, I suppose, if the workers decide to become part of the UAW?
Well, that's a big piece of this, Stephen. VW is committed to remaining neutral in this drive, that's different than the past. 2019, they were pretty openly hostile, pretty openly anti-union. They hosted the Republican governor, Bill Lee, inside the plant. They had many captive audience meetings with their workers where they would have supervisors and management reminding them all the reasons why they shouldn't join a union and why working for that company was so great. This time around, they're not doing any of that. And in fact, when I was down there, I took a tour of the plant, and they had monitors leading into, it's the main entryway that the workers walk in every single morning or every single shift. And there were monitors saying, we're VW and we vote, or vote for the workplace you want. And it had reminders for them about the election and telling them that even if you signed a support card, even if you signed one of those authorization cards that led to this election, you still need to vote. That doesn't count as a yes vote.
Right.
So they're doing their part to actually encourage the vote. Now, with that being said, obviously, they're trying to promote the fact that they feel that they offer really decent wages, really decent benefits anyway, that you don't necessarily need a union for that. And, you know, some of the fear that I think, you know, some of the arguments being made by the other side, the union opposition, is that should the UAW win, labor costs are likely to go up for VW. And that could lead to maybe less investment. Maybe that could lead to layoffs. Maybe that could lead to moving production elsewhere. But that's all a lot of what-if scenario, right? And the workers tell me that's just scare tactics, and they don't think it's going to work on them this time.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. I want to thank Stephen Greenhouse, who's got to run to another obligation, for being here. Stephen, it's always really great to have your voice in these conversations. I really appreciate you coming by this morning. We're going to keep Mike Martinez on the other side of the break and get to more of your phone calls and social media comments. Give us a ring. Let us know what you think about this vote that's happening in China. Chattanooga, Tennessee, about the organizing a Volkswagen plant. It would be the first organized foreign plant, auto plant, in the south of this country. Also, give us a call if you're someone who is a member of the UAW and maybe works in an auto plant here in southeast Michigan. What do you make of this new strength, this new muscle that the UAW seems to be flexing around the country? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter at WDET and hashtag Created Equal. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. This is Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you have joined us. We're talking right now to Mike Martinez. He is a reporter for Automotive News. He covers Ford and the UAW for that publication. He recently went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where auto workers in a Volkswagen plant are voting, even as we speak, on the possibility of becoming members of the UAW. Auto plants in the South, foreign auto plants in the South, are not organized in our country and haven't been. This would be the first, and the UAW has been working a really long time to get to this point, has tried several times in this plant, sometimes in others, to get workers to embrace the idea that representation is a path to better pay and better protections at work. They are hopeful, of course, that this will be the time that they are successful. We want to hear from you as well on the phones and on social. Call and tell us what you make of the UAW's efforts in the South. Is this the point where they finally break through and get workers to embrace the concept of unionization? What will that mean for the auto industry, for labor, for our politics? We would love also to hear from folks who are members of the UAW or who work in auto plants, of course. What do you make of the union's new flex, the new muscle that they are showing off after the successful strikes of the Detroit three automakers last year? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Created Equal or at WDET and be part of our show that way. I want to go to a clip that is of a person that Mike Martinez spoke with in Chattanooga. This was also included on the Automotive News' Daily Drive podcast. This is Yolanda Peoples. She is a 13-year employee of the plant and has seen the past two union organizing attempts and a member of the union's, she's also a member of the union's volunteer organizing committee.
People that's been there as long as I have and has gone through the first and second vote, they are just tired. We gave Volkswagen a chance the first two times. Now let's see what change can happen. Volkswagen disappointed us the first two times. Let's see if this can really benefit us. And that's what my experience is with speaking with a lot of the, we call them OGs, the older guys that's been there. Let's just try something different because obviously this isn't working.
So, Mike, Yolanda Peoples said something there pretty interesting. She said, let's just try something different because this isn't working. I mean, that does speak to what you were saying before about the current conditions and the way in which people, even in the South, are thinking that, look, this just doesn't work for me as an employee. I've got to work too long and too hard just to survive.
That's exactly right. And now they have tangible things they can point to up in Detroit of how that could be different. If you go back to 2019 or 2014, the union, the UAW, really didn't have a lot of wins they could point to. Mm-hmm. You're still coming out of the Great Recession when the union negotiated worse pay and worse benefits to keep the automakers alive. So if I'm a worker in the South, I'm looking at what's going on up north and I'm seeing that, why would I want to join an organization that's agreeing to concessions? Why would I want to pay dues money if they're just going to agree to concessions and lower my pay and benefits? Now, with what happened in 2023, when you got that 25% raise, when you have reinstated cost of living adjustments, and you got a lot better benefits, really, really historically rich contracts, it's a tangible thing you can point to and say, these workers in Detroit only got this because of the UAW. You can get it too if you join. And that's the argument that Yolanda and a lot of the other folks at VW are trying to make to their coworkers. And it seems like, according to them, it's really swaying, especially the folks who are on the fence, yeah, who weren't quite sure either way. But now, to her point, they say, hey, why not try it?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the phones here. Mike in Macomb. What's on your mind, Mike? I think we've got to wait a bit to get to Mike. Mike Martinez, talk just a little about the bigger context here and what Stephen Greenhouse was talking about in terms of this Alabama vote that will now happen in May in a Mercedes plant. What do you make of the momentum here that the UAW seems to have?
Well, this is the UAW's chance to build some momentum. It's almost, if you think about sports, right, you think about our Detroit Tigers, everybody's talking about they have a really easy early season schedule, so they need to rack up some wins early. It's kind of the same thing with the UAW. VW is probably always going to be its best chance at a win because they've tried and gotten so close before. These other automakers, it's going to be a tough nut to crack to try to organize the likes of Mercedes or Nissan. They have tried at Mercedes a handful of times in the past. They didn't even get to a vote before. So there's a lot more anti-union sentiment in some of these other plants than at VW. So UAW is hoping that a win at VW could build some momentum. Every worker I talked to down in Chattanooga likened it to a domino effect, you know, a snowball effect. You get that ball rolling and maybe other workers will see, especially if you can get a contract. They can see, oh, okay, well, maybe we should go with the union too. So that's the hope. It looks like VW will be its best shot, but momentum can lead to other wins as well.
Yeah, yeah. We do have Mike and Macomb queued up now. Mike, what's on your mind? Are you there, Mike? Mike, call us back. You gotta be paying attention. Okay, so Mike Martinez, last question to you: Do you think this is going to work? Do you think that that based on what you saw in Chattanooga, the UAW is going to get this done this time?
I think so, based on the workers I spoke with, based on what I saw at the plant, and it's really a combination of the things I've been talking about before. You have a stronger UAW that has some wins under its belt that can point to things it can win for the workers down south. You have an opposition that really isn't as hostile as it was in the past. VW is neutral, and yeah, the political establishment is pushing back a bit, but it's maybe not even as strong as it was in 2019. And then the third thing is you have these workers that are organizing in a different way, that have changed their strategy to avoid the pitfalls they fell into before. So a combination of all those things, I think, is going to lead to a win here at VW.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mike Martinez of Automotive News. Great to have you here. Great to have your reporting as part of our discussion about this vote in the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
So, Carrie, back to that time 30-some years ago when I was in Kentucky.
Times are changing.
Marveling about the idea of an unorganized auto plant in Georgetown, Kentucky. Fast forward to today. Boy, if they embrace this, that is a huge change. It'll mark a very big victory for the UAW.
I mean, speaking already with Stephen, kind of broken, not you, Stephen, not PH Stephen, but V. Stephen, kind of
Stephen
breaking
Greenhouse.
News. Yeah, Greenhouse on the pod or on the show. breaking the news about the Mercedes plant in Alabama. I mean, I think that's already showing that some kind of momentum in terms of making the effort, right, to unionize. So we'll see. And I think Yolanda's cut that they had for the for their podcast was also pretty telling.
Yeah.
We've tried it once before, one way. We'll just try it a different way this time.
Yeah. And the idea that she said what's going on now is not working.
Right.
Steve Greenhouse talking about how long and hard people have to work just to earn enough to support themselves in these Southern auto plants. You know, they're making a lot less than people in organized plants. That reaches a point where people can't take it anymore. And maybe they're at that point.
We'll see
right now.
I mean, come tomorrow, we'll have a better idea of what they're going to do in Tennessee. And then he said, was it May?
It's in May that they'll vote in the Mercedes plant in Alabama.
So this is going to be, we're going to be talking about this again in a few months too, to see how this momentum is shifting and what folks in the South are thinking about and whether this is a very big shift than what you saw in Kentucky all those years ago.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for us on Created Equal. You can listen to recent episodes at WDET.org. And of course, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, where you can leave us a rating or a review. Created Equal is produced by Carrie Jr. II and David Lines. Our audio editing is by Connor Anderson. The music is by Sam Bobian. Created Equal is a production of WDET, a listener-supported service of Wayne State University. This is WDET-FM, Detroit Public Radio, your connection to news, music, and conversation.